This week's episode is brought to you by Noor Noir.
Oh God, one more podcast? Hello all, welcome to This Is Standard Time. I am your host, Maz Ali.
I'm your other host, Maz Khan.
And we are back with another dashing, very exciting, new, sexy, the hot and tempting episode. Hey, who do I sound like, Maz?
Man, you sound like some really flamboyant, entitled, manipulative, weird, self-absorbed, conceited, and yet creative, intelligent, charismatic human being.
Thank you. That's exactly actually what I was going for. So, the episode today, I feel the need, as well as Maz Khan, we feel the need to talk about the one and only, pretty much the pulse of Bollywood in India today, Mr. Karan Johar.
Yeah, the godfather himself. The guy who's, I literally think of like puppets when I'm thinking about Karan
right.
Johar. Like he's just...
like a puppet master? Like
he's a puppet master.
Yeah.
He's the godfather.
Yeah.
You come to me in my house and you want me to make a movie for you.
Yeah, go off of your kind of feels.
You come here on Shah Rukh Khan's birthday and you don't even... This is what you asked for me.
Yeah, this is my first time ever impersonating Marlon Brando from The Godfather.
Yeah, that was a terrible impersonation.
That's fine. We're on the same page here. Karan Johar. What is Karan Johar? Who is Karan Johar? Why is Karan Johar?
How? How is Karan Johar?
Yes.
Can we ask him?
Where is Karan Johar? He's literally right behind us. But there's just so many questions. I mean, this guy, let's see.
Let's start with the good.
Yes, let's do it.
So first of all, this guy is, you know, he's trust fund baby, basically. He's the Bollywood version of a trust fund baby.
Indeed.
His dad, Yash Johar, was one of the most successful directors, producers, whatevers of Bollywood of all time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gave us classics like Agnipath.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, yes, yes.
That's pretty much it. That's all I got.
Right off the cuff, right off the top of your dome. You're a wealth of knowledge, my friend. Yeah, Karan Johar, I mean, he's actually, for as young as he looks now, he's actually been in the scene for God knows how long.
Yeah.
He's just been lingering like a cockroach.
Yeah.
Just around for a long time.
Like a cockroach.
Yeah.
I can see that. He's kind of annoying like a cockroach, too.
Yeah, he's, let's see. So, okay, let's go through, I guess, what has he done? So, I feel like he started his first producer debut at DDLJ, right?
Yeah.
1995, Dilwale Dulhania Le Jayenge.
I think he was, apparently he was an assistant director there.
Okay.
But he followed that up with an actual directorial debut with Kuch Kuch Hota Hai.
Knocked it out of the park.
I mean, well, we're talking about the best movie probably ever, right? Like, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find anyone who disagreed.
It is arguably. I can also say that still the greatest moment that Karan Johar probably ever provided me. So, the entire time of Kuch Kuch Hota Hai, Anjali is, you know, about to move on and, like, you know, get married to this certain someone. And everyone is so mad in the theater. I remember I was watching this at Na Cinema in Fremont, right, in front of, and live, but my mom, my sister, and my brother. And Shah Rukh Khan is, you know, the guy in the movie. And everyone's like, oh my God, like, how dare Anjali, like, go with someone else and not Shah Rukh? And everyone's getting so, like, sad and stuff like that. And then freaking Sajan Ji Garai comes on. You see an individual silhouetted from the back, and then he turns around and Salman Khan. What I'm saying is that was single-handedly the greatest pop in a movie theater I have ever been a part of in my life. Literally people cartwheeling, whistling, throwing their babies in the air. I've never seen any scene like that before. Thank you, Karan Johar. That was all you're doing.
I think this was actually all in your imagination because I think the pop was really just your, I don't know, lifelong hard-on for seeing Salman Khan on the big screen. Because literally no one that I watched the movie with was that excited
really?
To see Salman Khan.
Are you serious? No, this is like a unanimous, like, from what I've heard, this is like a unanimous, like, thing. People are like, no, oh my God, that was like the greatest moment. Like, everyone just lost, like, oh my God, Salman Khan is in this movie? Because he was a cameo. He wasn't supposed to be in it.
He has a pretty major role.
I know!
True.
This is like Akshay Kumar and Dutta Bagale when, like, you just see advertisement of Karishma, Madhuri, and Shah Rukh, and then, like, wait, Akshay Kumar is in this? Like, and he's in the title song, too?
True.
What the hell just happened?
That's true. I guess when you get a fourth star in the 90s for a Bollywood film coming out of nowhere, it's pretty exciting.
When did you see Kuch Kuch Hota Hai? Did you see it in the theater when you saw it?
No. We don't have theaters in Georgia.
Really?
Filming Bollywood movies back then. There probably were, but my parents didn't want to go that far. It's all really spread out.
We had this, we had like a ticket Nazi. We're totally off the topic, but I don't care. We had a ticket Nazi.
We are the topic. It doesn't matter.
Hey, Mas to Mas, same to same. We had a ticket Nazi at that theater. I just feel like giving this guy a shout out because I don't know where he is, but God bless him. He was a stickler for just everything. It was an Afghan man who had thick eyeglasses. Literally, when you turn your way, all you see was just beaming, like he was like a freaking like a bug.
Wow.
Right? I don't know why I'm mentioning this man at all, but shout out to him.
He was a big part of your childhood, clearly.
He was. He was. He ran.
You and this ticket Nazi probably watched some Mon Khan movies alone.
Yeah.
In the movie theater.
That's a whole nother topic on its own. But anyway, back on track.
Nah, I think it's pretty relevant. We're talking about Karan Johar, after all.
Okay.
Are we going there already?
Heyo, acha theke. Acha theke to sul bat sun meri. Acha look. So after that, okay, so he did Kuchu Chota and then he did K3G.
He gave us
another one.
We just knocked out three of like the best movies of all time.
Yes, DDLJ. Exactly. He DJ calling us with another one.
K3G, another one.
Mm-hmm.
And widely regarded as three of not only his best movies, but Shah Rukh Khan's best movies.
Yeah.
They clearly had a knack for working together. They like always wanted to work together. I think they were both worried that if they went with somebody else, it would just, you know, implode and die.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Karan Johar has given us... Look, I secretly am like a huge Karan Johar fan. I think the best embodiment of his like movie making, either I guess skills or lack of skills, is embodied in I Hate Love Stories. With Imran.
Oh, yeah. He did that, too. Imran Khan and Sonam.
I think he was just, like, a producer or whatever on it. But, like, the whole movie is just making fun of Bollywood, romantic, over-the-top, like, BS movies, right?
Yeah.
And he's more or less making fun of himself, like, for the most part. And
But
I love the, like, fruity, weird, over-the-top, romantic that you could never, ever achieve. Like, that was his style, and he kind of perfected it. So
even though he was only a producer on Kal Ho Na Ho, he still gave us... what is this guy's name? We talk about it all the time, but the guy's like, Pyar, just to chill. He gave us that guy.
Ramdial?
Yes, thank you. Thank Ramdial. You. Yes, he gave us that guy. And I mean, I love Karan Johar. I hate Karan Johar. Everything in between. I mean, he's given us so many memories, and like, let's just go through the timeline, and then we'll go back to the main thing that he's done, which like is what really made me realize, okay, what is this human being? After K3G, also notice that I feel like he literally saw Mohabbatein, and he was like, you know what, I can really run with this dynamic between Amitabh and Shah Rukh Khan, and just emulate this in every single movie that I do with these two, right?
Yeah, and he made it way better.
Right? Yeah, right? Mohabbatein was just Amitabh angry, Shah Rukh Khan trying to like, you know, get Amitabh to freaking loosen up and catch up with the 21st century, right? Did the same thing in K3G. He's like, right? Like, he just was angry.
That's exactly what he sounded like.
A very old and senile chihuahua is essentially what Amitabh was.
A chihuahua with some panache, if you will.
And then who remembers that epic line at the end of it where it takes like, Rab ne tumko sab kuch diya. Agar Rab tumko dil bhi diya. And it slaps the crap out of him.
I understood none of that, chihuahua.
Really? Sorry about that. Okay.
No, but you're right. I mean, so I'm just learning this now, but apparently he wrote those movies. So he wrote those iconic lines.
Dostana. He did Dostana also.
Dostana in 2008. Surprise, surprise. Kal Ho Na Ho in 2003, which is by far some of the best one-liner like jokes and whatever. Love is to chill.
That's my favorite.
Yeah. There's so much good stuff. So he's given us so much. I don't think I have a problem with him on the screen. I think I have a problem with him with what goes on off the screen. I think particularly like how he used coffee with Karan, which, okay, I guess this is another pause, so we'll get into how he used coffee with Karan to, like, basically manipulate everyone's life and careers and all that.
It's a masterpiece.
I mean, it's really...
He's
like the crazy girlfriend. Like, he knows exactly what to say and do to ruin your life, but you still love him at the end of the day.
Essentially, what we're trying to say, he's the devil incarnate. He is my god. Okay, this is my biggest guilty pleasure.
He's your god? Interesting.
No, stuck for a long time. This is a guilty pleasure of mine. Coffee with Karan. It was introduced to me by my friend Nasser Akbotwala. Shout out to him. He was not even that much into Bollywood, not as much as like you and I. But he's like, you have to watch this show.
You have to watch this crazy.
You have to watch.
It's crazy, dude. Just talking
literally,
smack.
He had two people, a guy and a girl, and he didn't mention who, like, on the show. I think from his first season. Literally sat them down. He's like, so, do you like her? And he's like, wait, what? Sorry, what? Like, what? Like, what? Why? What are you doing?
The thought had never crossed your mind until he put it there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it happens. Do you remember what he did with, what's her name, Alia Butt? Almost, like, derailed her entire career.
Oh, because she didn't remember Modi's name or whatever?
Yeah, like,
yeah.
Asked her a simple question. Granted, she had a complete brain fart, but, like, yes, it happens.
It happens.
Happens to the best, but he, like, ripped her a new one, yeah. Talked about it afterwards, didn't let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much just, like, almost single-handedly tried to ruin her career.
And he plays, like, he's kind of like a Jerry Springer in a sense. But Jerry Springer, like, dude, you have your show, you have these, like, crazy hicks on the show doing dastardly things, and you're just as innocent, like, wow, how can you do this? It's like, bro, you're the host of the show. You know what you're doing. You had these people on, right? And Karan Johar plays such like an innocent, like, no, but if there's nothing going on, then you should just feel free to tell the truth. It's like, bro, I can't say that.
He's like a ladle. He's just stirring the pot. Like Jerry Springer. Exactly. Yeah, Jerry Springer. It's like, I love that show, right? Because it was just like, I have an obsession with knives. If I see a knife, I have to stab something.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I just happen to have knives on deck. And he like brings out like a whole like set of knives for this guy to fuck around with. Like,
yes.
It's crazy. So, and Karan is the same way. He knows the crazy situations. He's like, oh, you guys just broke up. Mm-hmm. Please come on my show and talk about your love life with
me. Yeah. The biggest, I think the most infamous episode is when, I think season 4, he had Deepika and Sonam Kapoor on, and they just tore Ranbir Kapoor a new one. For context, for those of you who may not be aware, at that time, I think it was early 2010s, but 2012, 2013, basically, Ranbir Kapoor and Deepika Padukone have been like dating for a hot minute. And then they broke up. They were the it couple. They broke up. Ranbir was still like, you know, trying to find his big break and whatnot, still like, you know, creeping behind the scenes. And, you know, Deepika just tore him a new one because they're like, he needs to work on his boyfriend skills. She alluded to him, to Ranbir cheating. Because
he's not mature.
He's not mature.
Which he wasn't. I mean, she was totally warranted pretty much everything
she
said about
him. He was the playboy, right? I mean, he was just like, your father is Rishi Kapoor. You're in the family. Like, this is just going to happen.
Wait, that's for Sonam, though.
What?
That was with Sonam, right? So Deepika like ripped him a new one for being just like immature, unfaithful, all that stuff.
Yeah, and then Sonam was there too. And then Sonam, I think, had worked with Ranbir on Khoobsurat. They're both their inaugural films. And she was like, he's just so unsexy, blah, blah, blah. They just were both giggling like complete morons.
Right.
And then Rishi Kapoor and, you know, the Kapoor family had been on the show, I think, in season 1 or 2. And literally, they were like, what the hell, Karan? Like, you can't just like, you're instigating, you're asking all these questions, right. You're just like doing this. This is embarrassing as hell. Like, why did you do this? And that obviously just completely, like, you know. And then afterwards, everyone was just like, God, these rapid fire questions are insane. Like, please, like, I'm always afraid to, like, answer these because it's like.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to get. And it's always going to be something crazy and dramatic because he wants to elicit a response. He's like the writers of an MTV reality show. Like, yes. He just wants the craziest thing to come out of someone's mouth, and he's gonna do anything to get it.
Exactly. I watch it religiously as a result.
Yeah, there was a time where I watched it pretty often. Yeah.
He like, yeah, I don't know. Like, it's he's caused so much drama and controversy. What are some other like good episodes?
And I mean, okay, so the running theme that also as much as he destroyed people's careers, he also like loved to bring people that he was friends with or that he liked onto the show, right? So, like, mm-hmm. Shah Rukh, Kajol, they always got on the show and they were always highlighted as being, like, this awesome, sophisticated, beyond just Bollywood, like, really cool two people, two actors, especially Shah Rukh. I mean, his relationship with Shah Rukh is both questionable and cute, right? Like, it's, like, the best bromance of all time.
Yeah.
Because Shah Rukh really is, like, a charismatic human. Like, I don't know if you've seen, like, his TED Talks or whatever, but, like,
hell yeah.
Coffee with Karan really highlighted just, sure, on screen, he's, you know, Shah Rukh Khan, greatest of all time. But off the screen, he's still, like, really charismatic, really funny, has great insights, tells good jokes. He's clever. It's all really good.
Bro, if there's anyone that ever doubted, like, Shah Rukh Khan and, like, why he is who he is, I urge you to watch essentially any episode, kind of the earlier ones, with him on. Because, first of all, like, the rapid fire, right? Like, people crap their pants.
Right.
They're like, I don't know, like,
could you imagine just, like, being in a seat in front of, like, millions of people?
Yeah, and they're like, who is the hottest, like, name the top five hottest actresses right now, and one of them he mentions, like, your girlfriend just slips it in, and then you're like, well, my baby girl, of course, and then move on.
Yeah.
And, like, they just get super, like, you know, caught up, and it's, like, really easy. But Shah Rukh, literally, anytime he was on the hot seat, my God. Turns the charm on. Yeah. Seriously, even I was like,
they probably scripted down before. I mean, if we really want to guess on how manipulative too, right? He is, right?
Yeah,
he was like, oh, these are the rapid fire questions for today. Go ahead and prepare and study and blah blah blah. Meanwhile, everyone else gets just real rapid fire questions, and they have to come up with it on the spot.
So. Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like a make or break, and it really just like people say, you know, if you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere. No, no, if you've made it on Coffee with Karan, you can make it anywhere in the 100%. Universe.
This guy is really something else, but. Then we go back to him providing just ultimate entertainment, right?
Right.
While he's doing all this Coffee with Karan stuff, he's writing some fantastic movies, right? Let's go back to some of the stuff he's put together. Kal Ho Na Ho ends. Okay, now he's putting together Kabhi Alvida Na Kehna, which, okay, admittedly, I think is trash. But there's a lot of people that actually think it's a really good movie because of just how, like, quote-unquote realistic, which is absurd to me. I think it's the most unrealistic. Dude, my cousin is, like, obsessed with this movie.
He really?
Great. My cousin might be a little bit of, like, a masochist because he, like, loves the sadness. Like, you know when you just, like, love sadness? That's what you want.
Oh.
And that movie provides sadness in, like,
so many
heavy
ways.
Doses. Heavy, God, heavy doses.
That was just a hilarious scene.
It
was a hilarious, not a hilarious scene, sorry. That watching the movie was just a hilarious memory for me.
Really?
Why was I watching it in the theater again.
Of course.
With
your boy?
No, actually, with my mother, sister, brother-in-law, his mom, and his maybe older sister.
Okay.
And my mom, I was 18 at the time, I think, when it came out. It was 2006, right? Yeah, so I was 18. My mom going into it, she's like, yeah, both adult film here. Okay?
Yeah, and adult, like, relationship to the max.
Okay, what, watching a porno? What's going on? So... adult relationship to the max, yeah, it's about, obviously, like, you know, adultery and whatnot, but it was just too, like, I don't know. I think because it's such a topic that was, like, not really talked about and discussed, like, up until that point.
Yeah.
In, like, Desi movies, that, like, it kind of left the crowd a little giggly. Like, everyone's like, he's just, like, laughing, like, the whole, like, there's a collective, like, giggle in the theater occurring. Yeah. And I think everybody was just, like, kind of giggling, like, oh my God, this is so awkward. The scene where Abhishek confronts Rani for, like, cheating on him with Shah Rukh and, like, all the stuff. Spoiler alert, sorry. But, you know,
I was just about to ask. I don't really remember if they actually consummated the cheating, but did they?
Yeah, oh, they did. Yeah. Sorry, I don't know why I just got really creepy.
I like that. But it's juicy.
Yeah, it
was good. Look at Karan, man. Always pushing the envelope.
Yeah, he was. There was literally a scene. I remember, like, what, I think it was. Oh, I remember. So it was.
I'm way too excited.
I'm getting really hyped right now.
Yeah.
So it was, where's the party tonight?
Right.
On the dance floor. Thank you.
Yes,
so,
I got you.
Yes, thank you. So. That was shout out to John Abraham, random cameo. One on a all night. You feel all right.
He's a DJ, right?
One on a all night. For no reason.
That's actually how John Abraham sounds. They didn't have to do any voice effect.
One on a all night.
Jesus. So, could you imagine going up to a girl at the club and just like whispering in her ear, like, one on a all night?
If you're John Abraham, you'd be like, well, yes, I do. For sure, I'm down.
Yeah, if you look like John Abraham, you could whisper anything in a girl's ear. Like,
2 years later, I did
want to see my knife collection. And yeah. Like, it'll work. But, like, he's the only one.
Scared about sure, let's confront your fears right now, baby. Yeah, he, so yeah, during that song, they were doing, like, clips panning from the dance floor where Preeti and, okay, what the hell? Honestly, like, we were,
you know, Preeti was,
Preeti, okay, now I'm discussing this movie. So, what I was originally saying, let me finish my thought. During that song, Preeti and Abhishek, right? Preeti's married to Shah Rukh. Abhishek's married to Rani. Preeti and Abhishek are just turning up in a club, just going down. Where's the party tonight? Trying to figure it out. They're in a freaking party themselves.
Idiots. Of course.
So while that's happening, Shah Rukh and Rani are like, have these like guilty looks on their faces, and they're checking into a hotel. Do you remember this scene?
I do.
Slowly checking in, and they're slowly like, we're going to do this adult
tonight's
thing.
tonight's the night
we're finally just gonna like confront ourselves and just like do it right.
Did you bring the Viagra?
Yeah, exactly.
That was Shah Rukh asking Ryan.
Hey baby, what do you want? It but yeah, no, it was
oh my god.
So it was, yeah, they did kind of like allude to the, showed it, and there was just like, oh my god, we're gonna do it,
right?
But I was, my mind went another place. You think Abhishek and Preeti, their friendship was a little too friendly? Like,
yeah, it was. It was. No one is friends like that.
Yeah, come on.
Only, okay, I think that Karan wrote this friendship with maybe some friends that, like, maybe his friendship with Kajol, but he forgot that he's gay, and in the movie, Abhishek is not. So those relationships don't exist between two straight, hetero people.
Maybe they do. Maybe we're just naive, too.
Maybe, maybe we're jumping the gun.
Maybe we...
Damn it, Karan, did you manipulate us again?
Karan, you just taught us so much about life. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take a minute to think about what just happened and whether or not Karan really did manipulate us and make us think about our relationships with women. But
yeah, we'll circle back.
Stay tuned. You'll hear from this week's South Asian Spotlight, and we'll be right back.
This week's South Asian Spotlight is with Noor Molvi, founder of Noor Noir.
Now, whether or not the demographic is men... Listen, y'all, I am currently iced out in Noor Noir's handmade jewelry, and I am with its founder in our LA studio today. Welcome, Noor.
Thanks, Maz. I think you look great.
Why, thank you. Now, Noor, I understand everything you create is handmade right here in LA, right? So for listeners out there who can't see what I see, why don't you tell us more?
That's right. Noor Noir is a line of jewelry inspired by cherished moments and nostalgia, all handmade in my Los Angeles studio.
Awesome. So if you hand make every single piece, where do you get the inspiration for your collections?
Each piece is inspired by my best summer beach days, unique architecture on trips abroad, and that warm feeling that comes from spending an afternoon catching up with old friends. You know, it always amazes me that even though my pieces are crafted from my own perspective, so many of my clients connect to them and associate it with a nostalgia of their own.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, even for me, seeing the palm tree necklace immediately reminds me of my own beach days in LA.
Exactly.
Well, how did this all get started? Tell me.
Well, as a teenager, I spent my weekends making my own jewelry. My mom has a major jewelry obsession, and she passed that obsession on to me. So after a few years of working in the fashion industry, I decided to take the leap and start my own business, and now here I am.
Well, Noor, I am here, and I salute you, because we love seeing South Asian founders taking those leaps, and so glad you can join us today. So to score your own handmade Noor Noir piece, head to noornoir.com, that's N-O-O-R-N-O-I-R.com, and use code DST15 for 15% off. Rah! And we're back. Hello, hello. We're talking about Karan Johar, Maz Khan, Maz Ali, the Standard Time.
We out here. We out here.
Yeah, so Karan Johar is on our mind.
We out here like Karan Johar is out of the closet.
Ayo.
That's all we're going to really say about that. I mean, it's pretty cool. He definitely pushes the envelope a lot in the sense of, like, sexuality and stuff like that. We'll get to that in a second, but...
Yeah.
You know, good for him, man. I mean, no one should have to hide who they are for years and years. And he was the guy that was, like, the don't ask, don't tell, right? Everyone knew he was gay, but, like, my mom was like, but look at this body, man. Like, you don't want to talk about it. You don't want to mention it.
Yeah.
It's some taboo-ass thing. It's not. Like, I mean, the guy's gay. It's fine. Let him live.
I like how he's always been, like, very... forward with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, yeah. Well, like, I think this is who I am, dude.
I think he's gotten way more forward as of, like, in more recent years. Like, I think before he was kind of like, it was so taboo that it was just like, no, I'm not gonna.
I think Coffee with
it.
Gunner really brought it out.
Right.
Right.
I mean, anytime you hear the dude talk, he's very, you know, not that that's an indicator of sexuality or anything like that, but like, it pretty much, like, you, like, everyone knew.
Like, one of the questions in Rapid Fire was, like, if you were forced to have a gay encounter with someone with a gun in your head, who would you choose? And Salman Khan was like, is he koi gun bane hi nahi Karan? And then no Salman gun. Khan called him out, he's like, okay, just to make you happy, you Karan.
that's what Karan really wanted to hear.
Yeah.
He manipulated him into that answer.
God. I mean, we were talking this before the break, but we're still trying to figure out, like, damn, have we had... substantial enough relationships? Do we know anything about life? I mean...
I know. Karan makes you think about everything. Okay. On that vein, right? Let's talk about 2016, which is a big year for this guy.
Let us hear, brother. Let us hear.
So, I mean, we've skipped over a few of the years. We also skipped over Ye Jawani Hai Deewani, which is really one of my favorite movies.
Oh, yeah.
And he produced it. So, again, like, we don't...
This guy.
It's hard to know, like, how much of a hand he actually plays in these movies. He didn't write or direct, you know, Ye Jawani Hai Deewani, but it's hard not to, like, recognize... his imprint, whether it's, you know, from influence, from, you know, just doing great movies in the past, or whether he's actively taking a role in each movie and like saying like, hey, make sure you do it this way or that way or whatever, mm-hmm. providing some directing help or whatever. It's there. It can't be coincidence that all the movies that he produces end up being like, you know, really good. Yeah.
Nah, man, he's good. He knows obviously what he's doing. And wait, go back to 2016 though. Let's see. So he did, what movies were there that year? That was Edil Mushkil, right? He yep. did that. Deer Zindagi.
Kapoor and Sons. And Bar Bar Dekho.
Bar Bar.
I haven't seen Bar Bar Dekho.
I haven't either, but we got Gala Chashma out of it.
Katrina Kaif is in it, and yeah. so that usually means it's a no for me, unless there's someone yeah. else. And then, you know, there's Siddharth, who's like the most vanilla person I've ever seen on screen. I like him. Yeah. I like him.
I like him too.
He's cool. He's a good guy.
What a face.
What a face. I mean, he's... It's like he's chiseled
out of stone. He makes you mad. Like, why am I not like that?
How did Varun Dhawan get casted with him in Student of the Year?
Do you like Varun Dhawan?
I did not like Varun Dhawan until I watched two Karan Johar-produced movies. Humpty Sharma Ki
Dulhaniya. I liked him in that, yes.
And Badrinath Ki Dulhaniya. They're both, like, very similar, kind of, like, love story, like, whatever. Ironically, I don't remember which one it is, but... Oh, Humpty Sharma Ki Dulhaniya, I think it was one. Where it's Alia Bhatt and the end, you know, like, the moral... It was almost like watching, like, Boy Meets World or one of those shows, Full House. Uh-huh. Where there's, like, a moral kind of lesson at the end of each episode. At the end of the movie, he's, like, talking about, like, women have the right to do what they want to do, too. It doesn't always have to be the men who are the breadwinners, et cetera, et cetera. So,
that's right.
Even when you thought you just were watching, like, an easy, classical, you know...
Yeah. Garn slaps you in the face and slaps you with some knowledge. Some realness. Yeah. Slaps
you
with throw some knowledge.
Knowledge and, no. You thought this was just a love story? Nah, bruh. This is a 3-hour lesson on freedom. Yeah.
Kind of narcissistic of Garn Johar, too, because that movie has countless DDLJ references.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. He calls back to himself all the time.
Yeah, what a guy.
Which is...
And he gets away with it.
Pretty dope.
Honestly, he's untouchable.
This is why I hate love stories, because... Right. The whole movie is just a callback to all things Karan Johar. I mean, he literally has the songs in the movie, like, choreographed to mirror, like, Shala Shala and Devdas and, like, all these
I love that song by the way.
Bahara. Oh, my God. That's so good. The songs in that. That's another thing we should talk about. Like, his songs in his movies are always amazing. Edil Mushkil was, like, the straight... trash bag cinema
fire,
but the music songs, I feel like those are two different words.
Yeah.
it's like when you're with your friend and you're like oh, what did you think about that, and like one friend's like, yo, it was amazing, at the same time the other one goes, trash,
terrible,
trash.
I left very conflicted after Edil Mushkil.
So
yeah, I thought it started out great.
It was fine. Yeah, it started at the first like 75% of it was fine. It was the last 25% of it that just ruined it.
Don't forget even the whole scene with Anushka and Ranbir when they're in the mountains recreating all these old songs, and then like they freeze, and like it was just so funny. There was like so many
It was good. They had chemistry.
God, they had really good chemistry. I just...
Ranbir out here with all the chemistry.
Ranbir's dope, man.
He's like the AP chemistry whiz kid, dog. He out here just doing it to everybody.
Man, he though... God, his character did kind of piss me off. A lot of aspects of that movie pissed me off.
I just hated that he wore Yeezys at the end when he was waiting for her. Like, he's in distress, but he still wants to, like, look really good, you know?
Yeah.
It's just annoying.
It related to home because half my friends do that, so it's fine.
Like, it was just such a weird flex, you know? But okay.
Hey, I see what you did there.
But okay, so I don't even know if people are as, you know, annoyingly obsessed with this kind of stuff as I am, but leading up to the release of Ye Jawani Hai Deewani,
right,
he released every song like a few weeks apart on YouTube. So you could watch like, you know, 2 minutes of each song or whatever.
Okay.
And every like it was like the best day of the week for me.
Yeah.
The song would drop, like first it was the title song, then it was Buleya, then it was the breakup song, and then it was Cutie Pie. And
are you talking about Edil Mushkil?
And then he finally, Edil Mushkil. Yeah, and then he finally dropped Chandameria, which
Chandameria, that
just, I pretty much just stopped doing anything for like a week and just listened to that, cried myself to sleep.
I was zoomed on the fact that Ranbir was wearing Mendy on his hand, and I was so confused.
I was like, oh wow, is this an autobiography? Yeah, what is this?
Because they, I don't know. Because isn't like Edil Mushkil supposed to be loosely based off Karan's like life or like something that happened to him too,
something like that? Yeah,
right.
It was like his most personal movie based on
that's like what it was done
his as. Own experiences and stuff like that. Like This was his avatar, which is hilarious to say. Like, he had been, I forget where I read this, but like it was like his movie that he'd been working on for several years. He was like writing his diary for a decade or whatever.
Right.
And this is what he came out with, which is hilarious, because James Cameron did the same thing and came out with...
With Avatar?
Avatar.
And
we have Red Beer crying for 3 hours.
Exactly.
From Curran.
Which is funny, because like you... James Cameron came out with Avatar, right? Completely state-of-the-art, different movie, unorthodox, right? Whereas the parallel universe in Desi Cinema is Karan Johar sleeping for years on. He's like, let me get... It's just not quite there yet. Like,
I need something.
What are you going to come up with? Oh, another alternate, very love story.
I know. Cancer.
Yes.
Solve it.
Bro, for the love of humanity. I'm sorry. But obviously, cancer's not funny, nothing at all. I'm not saying that, not at all.
I don't know
why
I'm laughing, sorry.
Yeah, no, sorry. But, like, I'm saying, I was so confused with the movie. I was so annoyed with Ranbir, and I was like, bro, move on. You upgraded to a rich poet named Ashwari Rai, who played Subba.
Yeah.
Like, I think, won.
You were getting it on, and she's, like, an intellectual.
Yes.
Like,
she gave you, like, song lyrics.
Right.
And they did Balea.
She supports you.
And she was totally down. Like, no copyright infringement. No, like, plagiarism. Nah, no, baby, bruh, it's all yours.
Living in her house. And, like, that's what I hated. All the scenes where he was using her to, like, make Anushka, like, jealous.
Yeah.
Like, she comes over for dinner, and he's like, yeah, she's dead.
I'm banging my head against the wall.
I'm like, no one acts like this. Like, no one acts like this. And this is my problem. Like, Ranbir is a good actor, right? We know, like, we saw him in Burfi.
Stellar.
Like, there's a bunch of other movies, actually. Incredible. Like, Wake Up Sid.
Yes.
Like, there's all these good movies that he's in. And then we have this trash bag movie that Karan Johar put together with great cast, great songs, his lifelong project, and we get these awfully directed, awfully acted, awfully written, just...
I don't know if it's awfully directed or awfully acted. I just think the story was just weird. Like, it just took a weird... Like, come on, dude. Like, it was a cop-out. Like, she had cancer. Like, he'd been waiting for you.
It's a Nicholas Sparks cop out, right?
Like, yeah,
it's gotta be a tragedy.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Right?
Yeah, like, he was like waiting for her and all this stuff, and then she somehow has the audacity to be mad at him. She's like, "You idiot! I have cancer."
Yeah,
and it's like, it was silent in the theater. I laughed out loud because I was like, "What? Like, where the hell did the story go?" Like,
I don't like he like okay. At least Nicholas Sparks had the decency to give us a good ending, right? Like, okay, The Notebook. She has Alzheimer's. Oh my god. Ball your eyes out, cry. It's emotional blackmail, whatever. But it ends with, you know, the only way it can, them both dying together. So you're like, all right.
Yeah.
Closure.
Yes.
We're fine.
Uh-huh.
Anthony Muschkill is like just the biggest tease. For 3 hours, he's like trying to get her.
This is the greatest friend zone.
It's the most epic friend zone of all time, right? She's like
can hold her back. Like, she knows. It's like, he's there for you. He's just gonna live your life out with you. Just like, let me love you. She's like, nah.
He's wiping her ass. He's literally, like, she's incapable of doing anything on her own. He's wiping her ass, and he's like, just love me a little bit. She's like, Nah,
I'm good. We cool.
I'm good.
You
ain't gotta do it for me.
She's like, Fawad Khan just did me too well. I'm sorry. He's a DJ and he ignores me. God, I love him.
You know,
damn, he looked good in that.
I didn't even realize that he produced all these movies until we started, like, you know, looking into this episode. But it's crazy. Like, he also brought Fawad. He brought Fawad in to Bollywood, despite, like, I mean, weren't there like protests and like. People were boycotting Adile Mushkil because Fawad was in it and he was a bunch of actors.
There was another actor in that. Imran Abbas. He was in that too.
Yeah.
He was Anushka's date, and that's the same time when Ranbir was dating Lisa Hayden, who probably had the best character in this movie.
Yeah.
The
bimbo?
Yeah.
She's hilarious.
Yeah, she was fantastic.
She's funny.
Yeah, Imran Abbas was in it too, who we realized because he transitioned from Pakistani dramas. Pakistani dramas, you don't dance, so my god, this poor guy cannot dance.
Yeah, of course.
As was displayed in the club at the song Disco.
Fawad Khan can't dance either. Fawad Khan might be the best looking person, like, that no one really talked about how good looking he is. Like, everyone's like, oh, Ranveer Singh. Ranveer Singh is a good looking guy, but Fawad is on a different level.
Fawad is like, there's nothing wrong with him. Right. But that's also what's wrong with him.
Right. He's like, two golden boys.
Yeah, like, Ranveer got a little edge.
We've not talked about two boys in this episode and, like, how perfect they are, by the way. Siddharth and Fawad. Anyways, moving on. Unrelated. Unnecessary.
I'm scared of myself. It's fine.
But he also put Fawad in Kapoor and Sons, So the whole
great movie,
right? So this whole track that we're on right now, it all started in 2016, where he came up with this trash movie, Ed Deheimuschka, which was his life's work apparently, and then without even trying, gave us two of the best movies of that year, which were Dear Zindagi, awesome movie about mental health, an issue that is super hot topic in America, sure, and the world, but it's especially important to bring it up in India, where it's completely taboo. So taboo. No one talks about it. Exactly.
So taboo.
And he delivered that with Alia Bhatt, who killed it. Mm-hmm. She's, by the way, like, I think she's like 20 for 20 in movies. Like, I've never seen a bad
She's Alia always Bhatt killed movie. It. I don't think I've ever... Yeah, you either... people either, like, just don't like her, or people... I don't... There's no in between. I don't understand.
I don't think I've seen a movie where she's like bad in. I've seen bad movies that have her in it, but I've never seen her give a bad performance. Like, she kills it every time.
Yeah, no, she's dope. I had to talk my mom there today, literally. I think she was just saying, she's like, nah, abhi tak koi bachchi lagti hai, mujhe pata nahi kyun. Like, I just never really
she
liked
does
her.
Look, like, she's like the Ariana Grande of Bollywood. Like, she looks like she's 12.
She is, yeah.
But would
you're killing me with the analogies today.
Would you not? Friend. Would you not? Thank you.
Nick Sparks, Ariana Grande. Fantastic. Keep us up.
Nick Sparks.
We'll buy you a Kit Kat after this.
Give me a break. I like
yes,
it.
Yes, yes.
So he gives his Dear Zindagi. He drops Kapoor and Sons casually, just about like all these different topics, right? Like loving your parents, accepting a gay son, taking ownership of stealing your brother's manuscript. Like all these things that are extremely important to everyone. We all face these issues every day, right? And then he gives us Ed Deheimuschka. Trash.
Oh, man. Ed Deheimuschka just ended. I was just like, this is a fun movie. Then I was like, man, what the hell? Like, it's actually, you know what it is? It's a Daisy version of 500 Days of Summer.
Oh my god, it really is. He's the Joseph Gordon-Levitt of crying for 3 hours.
That just, wow.
On that kind of blew my mind a little bit.
Let's shake our hands.
Hey, you guys can't hear it, but we're touching each other right now. Excellent.
Can you hear it?
Can you hear it now? Okay, weird. Okay,
we'll stop shaking. But yeah, it was, yeah, I mean, I liked him, you know. And oh, by the way, and freaking, and Kapoor and Sons, that was the reveal when you find out that Fawad Khan is gay.
Yeah.
It didn't occur to me for the longest time, even after it was like...
Spoiler alert.
Sorry, spoiler alert.
Again. But you should know, like, the whole movie, he dresses impeccably.
Yes.
He's a writer. Wait, how did you not know? He, like, kisses his boyfriend at the very beginning.
No, listen. What did he?
He has a boyfriend. Oh, I guess you don't know it's his boyfriend.
You don't know his boyfriend. That's the whole point, bro. If it was obvious, then there wouldn't be no surprise. The climax. Hello.
Yeah, you're right. You
what is film writing, man?
You gotta have the climax. You're right.
Yeah, man.
You're right.
Do that.
You're right.
Listen, so when it happens, even when they show, I think they alluded to it really head on with like the picture of like him and his like boyfriend together.
Right.
Right? And then, yeah, so after that, even then when people like, there was a moment for the crowd, yeah. I was still just like, okay, that's a nice picture. And yeah. I didn't get it. Until after, get and it. I screamed. I was like, ah! And I was like, oh my God. Because it just, again, we're not used to seeing that in Desi movies.
Right.
We're not used to seeing that or talking about that in our culture.
And not only did
so
he.
So it was cool. Like, oh, only, yeah, shoot.
Usually you see it in like the context of like Dostana, where it's just like making fun of gay relationships.
Yeah.
But not only did he bring in the gay relationship, but he brought up like the real issue, which is how our society reacts to it and why it may or may not be the right way. Definitely not the right way, but like. You know, just like what the issue is, really.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, it was, Dostana was like, it was poking fun. It was almost like a Three's Company level, like Jack Tripper can only live with two girls because, you know, Mr. Furley, Don Knotts thinks he's gay. So that's right. The only way he's going to fly by or else.
What was that movie like Adam Sandler and Kevin James?
I don't like either one of those individuals.
Okay. There's a, yeah, they did a movie where they like try to be gay to get, I don't know, whatever. Really? There's a lot of movies with that storyline.
Kevin James, the fact that that man has a Hollywood career is still
Adam Sandler is still earning more than like 95% of that.
He's played the same character for maybe 20 years.
Yeah.
What's the difference between Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore? Nothing.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, yeah, I mean.
He pushes the envelope.
Yeah, I mean, he's dope. And.
We're talking about Garden, right?
No, we're talking about Paul Blart, the mall cop. Thank you. No, but yeah, I mean, Garden Jorah pushed the envelope. I mean, he's a trailblazer, dude. I mean, he owns Bollywood.
Speaking of pushing the envelope, did you see the All India Buck Joe's roast of
AIB,
Ranveer, and
Arjun Kapoor?
Arjun Kapoor,
yes.
And oh my god, the gay jokes in there are so homophobic. It's like. It's like there's more anal jokes in there than any jokes about Ranveer or Arjun.
Right, right.
It's unnecessary.
Thunder Bart said it the best. He was just like, He was like, you know, he's like, normally Karan is like, when everybody orgasms, they go, oh, oh. But then when you orgasm, you go, oh, oh.
Yeah, okay. I remember that. Fantastic. I do remember. In all fairness, it was one of the funniest, like,
search on YouTube. It's
Everyone listening to this right now, go on YouTube. All India Buck Cho, the roast. I don't think they only did one, right? Of Arjun Kapoor and Ranveer?
I think so. AIB was... Yeah, AIB is hilarious.
AIB is hilarious. Yeah, honestly, just watch all of AIBs. If you haven't seen Creep Kowali, now is the time. You're welcome. You are so welcome. Prepare to laugh. Prepare to show all your friends. You can take credit for it. It's fine. But just know that we told you about it.
Yep. DST, boy. But yeah, I mean... You gotta watch that. I mean, even like, dude, Coffee with Karan, I mean, I'm sorry. There's something about that show that keeps drawing me back to it. Oh, by the way, did you ever see the episode with Ranbir and Ranveer?
No, I didn't.
What?
I need to go back and rewatch it now, because now that we have context, it's like even more
okay,
funny.
So basically, it was, first of all, they're in their prime, right? Obviously, this was, end of 2016. So Ranveer had just done Bajirao Mastani. I think he did Befikre, and he... that's a
God. So yo, Vani's hot, man. She's hot in a weird way. She's hot in a weird way. Again, she's hot. I mean, she's obviously hotter than anyone we could get, but she's hot in a weird way. Mm-hmm. Like, she's now in the trailer for War, which, you know, give you an idea.
Who's in War again?
So War is this trailer that just dropped. It's a movie with what's his name? Tiger Shroff. And Hrithik Roshan.
What? They're in the movie together?
Squaring off.
Oh, for the love of God.
You haven't seen this trailer?
No.
Oh, my God. All right, so everyone, get on YouTube. Go
myself included.
By the time this comes out, you'll have already probably seen it. But
okay, Tiger Shroff versus Hrithik is literally like Mike Tyson.
I haven't seen this many
like
games.
Muhammad Ali versus Mike Tyson. Barry Bonds versus Babe Ruth. The Rock versus Hulk Hogan.
There are more
The
veins.
Rock versus John Cena.
There are more veins in this trailer than like... A white woman's legs at like a golf club. Like an older white woman's legs at a golf club.
So much, so many varicose veins in this.
It's like, there's so many veins, dude.
So much hair, abs.
No, there's
veins.
No hair.
Sorry. Long flowing hair at the top of the hair.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So many dance moves.
Yeah. But yeah, it's ridiculous.
Anyway, so basically, if I could say that, shout out, by the way. To Karan Johar, whose next film in 2020 is called Takht, and I'm kind of looking forward to this. It is going to be a period piece in the Mughal dynasty with Ranveer, Kareena.
Of course it has Ranveer.
Of course, you have to.
If you do a period piece after 2016, yeah. It has to include Ranveer.
Ranveer, Kareena, and Alia Bhatt.
Wow.
Oh, and Anil Kapoor.
The cast are always
kind of excited.
Great.
Yeah.
Anil Kapoor.
I'm something to look forward to. Just FYI for you Bollywood goers out there. But back to what I was saying. So we were talking about how Karan like likes to, you know, stir the pot and just like get all like the gossip and juice out, right?
Right.
About like, you know, these people. And he literally booked Ranbir and Ranveer, who are now at the top of the game. Ranbir was working on Sanju. Ranveer was in the middle of shooting Padmavat. And obviously, what's the common ground? They were both with Deepika Padukone.
Right.
In Karan Johar's eyes, this is jackpot. Hello.
But it really... Okay, so he's giving us what we want. Because when you think of Ranbir and Ranveer together, what's the first thing you think about?
Deep.
There you go. So you know that no one else is going to bring it up except for Karan Johar, who's going to bring it up for sure, guaranteed, 100%.
And I have to say, I think they handled it well. But at the same time, it almost seemed a little rehearsed, like too like.
It had to be rehearsed.
It had to be, because you know that before going on the right, okay.
You know he's going to
bring it. We know who this guy is. He's notorious for like destroying lives and make us all look like idiots, right? We need to come with a game plan. Right. And so these guys, literally, because like, literally when like, Karan Johar brought up, so it's not awkward between you two when we like, because you know, mention or anything like that. And
so remember that time that you were inside the same woman?
But now he's inside of us. What do you think about that? Life sucks, doesn't it? So like, yeah. So after that,
he's so
like
weird.
Literally, Ranveer's just leaning back, like, what? Why would it be awkward? Why don't we get it? And I'm just like, come on, Ranveer. We know you're Mr. Cool, but like, come on.
The one guy
have a little insecurity.
It's crazy that the one guy who is the only real threat to him in Bollywood, I feel like at this point, is also the same guy that used to, you know, date his current wife.
His wife.
Yeah.
Exactly. And Ranbir went on the record on that show and was just like, no. He's like, I'm very happy for them together, to be together, and I want them
I'm not reading Alia
Bhatt. He said, I want them to have multiple babies and, like, many babies and stuff like that. But that is a very entertaining.
Why would anyone want that for someone else, first of all? Like, what's such a weird thing to say? Like, I hope you have babies.
Look, it's just like,
I hope you pop them out. I hope it's just like picking your dump, but like over and over again.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's weird. It's a weird thing to say. I don't know. It's just like trying to knock it out of the park. Like, I'm going to show I'm so comfortable.
I'm so comfortable. Okay with you.
Yeah, get, throw me a
impregnator. Impregnator, bro. I'll be cool with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's totally fine. It's like,
so weird.
And then Ranveer's like, I mean, yeah, that was the plan. Like, I'm not going to do it now because, like, you told me to do it.
Thank you for your blessing, yeah. Lord Ranbir.
And then he runs to Deepika. Ha, Ranbir,
hey, we have permission. Look, slip, signed, everything. Good.
Okay, good. Yeah, so, but I mean, I think that's a classic Coffee with Karan episode. It's entertaining as all hell. They talk about a lot of
I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, you got to watch it. They talk about a bunch of stuff. And the rapid fire is hilarious in that. They have this buzzer-like game in that. I'm just fangirling right now because I'm obviously a Coffee with Garden fan. And this is a fantastic episode that you'll, I think, will all viewers out there will definitely like. But
so I'm getting kind of a good... Okay, so what's the verdict?
What is... I don't know. So what do you guys think?
We want to hear from you guys. I think if I had to vote, I'm going to say no. Karan,
what is even the question?
So, the question is Karan Johar a good or bad person? And my answer is I really don't think he's a good person, but I don't think that Bollywood...
Well, let's say this.
...could be even close to what it is without him.
I mean, are we good or bad people?
I'm a great person. I don't know about you, dog.
I'm pretty bad, bro.
I mean, I'm not walking around saying like, hey, you can have as many babies as you please, my man.
That's true. You're not Ranbir.
Yeah. We all know Ranbir's a bad person. He is. Yeah. We can agree on that.
Sorry, Ranbir. No, Rishi Kapoor is going to come and freaking attack us.
No, Rishi Kapoor is going to be like, you talk about
my family. He's like, I don't know who the hell you guys are. Bart.
Who's Maz?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to blame you. I'm going to be like, yeah, that was Maz.
That's totally fine. I'm going to take Maz. It. I love Rishi Kapoor. I'll welcome him with open arms. But he's a... Rishi Kapoor always...
Chaiwala.
Rishi Kapoor always had the best qawwalis. He did Parda Hai Parda. He did Zamane Ko Dikhana Hai. He did Tayabali Pyar Kishma, which was not really qawwali, but that's also Mark Anthony. Anyway, I'm on a tangent. But like, yeah, Rishi Kapoor is fantastic.
Your knowledge of weird Rishi Kapoor moments will never fail to surprise me.
I'll tell you my favorite Rishi Kapoor moment. A classic in the Ali household. But he's drunk. He comes out. It's in, is it Zamane Ko Dikhana Hai or Hum Kisi Se Kam Nahi? Hum Kisi Se Kam Nahi is in that movie. He comes out, he's drunk, and one of the other uncles that's in the movie is just literally wearing just like his pajamas because he was like, in the middle of like fornicating with this like random like prostitute.
Thank you.
Of course, this is what I grew up on. And he comes out and he's like grabs the guy's like front pants and goes, not the outfit for that. And then he just like snaps the underwear back into like his crotch.
Love it.
And this was a classic moment in our household.
That's your favorite Neil Kapoor moment?
No, not Neil Kapoor. Rishi Kapoor.
Rishi Kapoor, sorry. Yeah. That's right, that's right.
Yeah.
All right, I'll have to tell you guys about my Neil Kapoor moment later. But it's epic. It's epic. Yeah.
For sure. No, but okay, so is Karan Johar good or bad for society? I'll say ultimately good.
I think I have to agree, right? I think he's good overall. He provides entertainment, and what else is that's showbiz, baby? That's him, right? Like we wouldn't have Kuch Kuch Hota without Karan Johar. Nope. Then we need Karan Johar. I think that's as easy as that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, not to mention that he's provided us timeless memories and songs and moments in cinema history. But at the same time, like, think about this. Because of Coffee with Karan, now we have Kapil Sharma Show.
Right.
We have that. We have all these other like outlets now too. And it's like, we never really saw like who like these actors and actresses were on a personal level. And now we're getting insight to that. And it's like really cool. And like, oh my God.
It really does humanize them. Like now I really know that Aishwarya is an annoying, high-pitched, kind of dumb person in real life. And I had her on this pedestal before then because she was, let's face it, physically perfect.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I was just, like, blinded as well, too. I don't know.
Yeah, beauty like that is blinding.
Yeah.
All right.
Blue eyes.
Well, hey, tell us if you agree. Tell us if we missed something. Tell us about your favorite or least favorite Karan Johar moment.
Yes. Tell us whether you think he's good or bad for society. What do you guys think?
Yeah, what's your favorite episode of Coffee with Karan? We'd love to hear from you guys.
Hell yeah.
So comment, like, subscribe. And we'll be back with more content soon. This is Maz Khan.
This is Maz Ali.
We're signing off. Talk to you guys soon.
Deuces.